Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, and we're glad you've joined us here on Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian concludes his message called No Excuses from Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. But Pastor Brian picks up where he was yesterday in Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, dealing with Moses giving God excuses as to why he can't do what God has called him to do, and that we should learn from Moses and not repeat his mistake. So now let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Look at verse 11. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Moses has to think a little while. I guess I'm not going to get out of it that way. Verse 13, he says, "But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may say." That means get anybody else but me. And that's our response often. Here I am, send Larry, or put it someone else. Anybody else, God? And the Lord says, no, you're the one that I've appointed. And we try and back out, and God's not going to take no for an answer, because he doesn't make mistakes. When he says, this is what I want you to do, he wants you to do it. And he knows everything about you. He knows all the reasons why you shouldn't be the one, but his choices are not the way the world chooses. He says, I'm going to use the weak to confound the strong. I'm going to use the outcasts, the ones that have nothing to offer, the ones that don't have it all together, so that my glory be manifested. And so the Lord knows what he wants to do, and he's going to give you all that you need at the moment in that time of ministry. You have to step out and see the hand of God work. Look with me over at the life of Jeremiah, chapter 1. He was also called by God, and he had a similar response. Jeremiah chapter 1, here's where God says, even in the womb I knew you. Even before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I set you apart as a prophet. Verse 6, Jeremiah 1 verse 6. Does this sound familiar? Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Too young for this. I can't speak. Once again, God didn't say, you're right, I'll get somebody else. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then later on, he tells them, you're going to go and speak, and no one's going to listen to you because they're stiff-necked and they're hard-hearted. He says, but you go, I'm sending you. He says, don't be fearful, don't look at their faces. Every pastor needs to know that. Don't look at the people's faces. Sometimes they're like, hang on. This one's a little discouraging, though. No one does that here, thank God. Let's go over to 1 Timothy. God didn't accept Jeremiah's excuse. I'm too young. I don't know how to speak. He says, you go. You say what I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them. 1 Timothy. Here's a man that's in ministry, trained by the Apostle Paul, and yet Paul has to encourage him to continue on. Now, listen to this. It's one thing, it's one act of spiritual warfare for the devil to get you stopped where you won't step out and be used by him because you're afraid, because you're discouraged, because you think you lack the abilities. You're not trusting in God's power. If he loses that battle and you move through all that, and it is a battle, it's a spiritual warfare, and then you place yourself at the mercy of God, say, God, here's my life, use it, then literally all hell will break loose against your life to stop you from doing that task. And being involved in ministry, there is a discouragement because the labor's hard. And there's a battle that goes on, and that's why there has to be that sense of calling, that sense, God's told me to do this, that's why I'm doing this, and a fervency of heart to say, hey, my life is the Lord, here's what he's asked, I'm going to do this no matter what, no matter what people think, no matter what opposition comes against me, I know the Lord's asked me, and he's promised that he'd be with me. So from time to time, because we are human, if you're involved in any form of ministry, it gets to the point where you get worn out or tired or discouraged. And Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, says, let no one despise your youth. That seems to be an issue, doesn't it, as you go through the scriptures. It's youth. Timothy was not a teenager at this time. Most estimate him at about age 40. Just don't let anyone look down at your youth at age 40. but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So some elder group of elders, obviously Paul probably included, laid hands on Timothy. There's some prophetic word that said, this is what God's called you to do. God spoke. And now Paul has to say, don't neglect that gift. And I don't think it's beyond 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, if you put these together, that Timothy had the tendency to kind of go slow towards the things that God had called him to. Because you have to say this to him again, and he says it to him in 2 Timothy as well. So there was this pursuing of the will of God, and then whatever happened, whether because people were saying, oh, this guy's too young, he doesn't know what he's talking about, or whatever the problem was here, he's saying, don't let those things hinder you. And don't neglect the gift that God's given you because of the response of other people. Or whatever was happening there in the church, or his own timidity of hearts. Paul says, you keep going for it. And even as you're in ministry, you need that word of encouragement to keep going for it. Do what God's called you to do, no matter what opposition may be coming your way. I've tried to tell you that if you want to be involved in ministry, it's not going to be easy. I didn't paint some rosy picture saying, hey, just give your life to the Lord and be involved in ministry, and boy, that's when things will get real good. It does get real good. You know, because you labor, and you battle, and you see God touching people's lives. It's a fulfilling life. But the spiritual warfare and the conflict definitely heats up as you set yourself to be used by the Lord. And we are weak and we're given to discouragement. That discouragement would be, I've been laboring at this for a long time. I believe God's called me to it, but I'm not seeing the fruits. You know, when's the fruit going to be born? You need to not neglect the gift. Keep using it for God's purposes. He'll bear the fruit, and it'll be fruit that'll be lasting. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I remind you of chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Same thing he said in chapter 1, 1 Timothy, that we looked at in chapter 4. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear doesn't come from the Lord. That fear is saying, I can't do it. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'm not this or I'm not. That's fear. And that's not the Holy Spirit. And fear keeps a lot of people out of the things that God's called them to do. Fear of the unknown, fear of failing. Fear of whatever doesn't work out, that's where faith comes in. I mean, some of our greatest trials are the ones that never happen, right? Because we imagine them, and this could happen, and we think about them, and it never even happens. How many trials have we had in our own mind that we have made up that have never come to pass? Can't be governed by fear. That's not from the Holy Spirit. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives you what you need through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, it could be that Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you need to be a partaker in the sufferings, or maybe there was some sort of shame involved here. Because he's saying, don't be ashamed. Maybe people were bad-mouthing Paul, which they did all through his ministry. Oh, look at Paul, he preaches all these things, and he's ending up in prison. What, you know, what sort of leader is he to you, Timothy? And maybe Timothy backed off a little from that association. I don't know. There seems to be, as you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, some sort of drawing back from the call of God, and Paul has to push him forward. That's what God is saying directly to Joshua. Go in, possess the land. No one's going to be able to stand against you. I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you're going to divide the spoil, the inheritance, to all this people. Now, Joshua has a choice. He can look at all the obstacles and be discouraged and fearful, and be dismayed. Or he could say, God's with us, let's go for it. And you have that same choice today. I believe that God has sown in your heart, this is what I've asked you to do. Now you can look at all the obstacles, all the things, the reasons why you can't, but what you need to know is God doesn't take any excuses. There's no excuses. There's no excuses that he'll accept. He wants you to move forward. He wants you to be strong and courageous. He's given us not a spirit of fear, but of love and of power of a sound mind. And you move forward in that, I believe you'll see fruit for the things that God's called you to do. And you'll receive that power, strength, grace, help right when you need it.